the sound of an execution gone wrong.
Why don't you shut it down?
He's still alive. You want me to shut down while he's still alive?
That macabre scene is from the movie The Green Mile, a fictional debacle for a man in the once thought to be humane electric chair. The debacle that played out in Oklahoma this week was not fiction, though. A lethal injection gone wrong. A doctor standing by, stopping it. Prison officials pulling a curtain to shield the witnesses from a body convulsing and dying of a drug-induced heart attack. This was the real-life scene for the now-dead death row convict, Clayton Lockhart. The drug cocktail used was obtained from a compounding pharmacy. The recipe protected by secrecy rules enacted in Oklahoma as death penalty states try to secure a reliable supply of lethal injection drugs in response to a diminishing world supply. The Oklahoma Corrections Director has since called for an indefinite stay of executions in that state while an investigation goes on. Dr. Mark Stern joins us now. He's a former Assistant Secretary for Healthcare at the Washington State Department of Corrections. Dr. Stern, why do doctors stand by in lethal injection executions?
They may be there to assist with the execution, and if they're just standing by, John, it may be to declare death.
And in your experience, is that something you might have been called to do in Washington State?
Well, I was called to do that. I was called to make sure that the gurney was in working condition. That was a policy that was in place a couple of years prior to an execution that we had. And then we were also called upon to provide the medications that were used for the lethal injection.
And in your personal case, that was a conflict of principles and forced you to make a decision.
Definitely. There are a few ethical principles that physicians operate under. Three of them are beneficence, non-malevolence, and patient autonomy, which simply means do good, don't do bad, and be guided by the patient's wishes. And assisting in any way at an execution violates all three of those ethical principles.
And so you resigned?
I did.
Now, didn't you know that this job might entail that when you began as Assistant Secretary for Healthcare at the Washington State Department of Corrections?
John, that's an excellent question. And actually, it was not on my radar. What was on my radar at the time I interviewed for the position was how serious was the department about helping me provide safe health care for patients, keeping their blood sugars down if they were diabetic and their blood pressures down if they had hypertension. I just was not thinking about the execution process. That wasn't something that we learn about in medical school.
And in fact, your argument has some significant validity in the sense that prisons have become warehouses for the mentally ill, for diabetics, for people with tuberculosis. So there are serious and in some cases overwhelming health care issues for inmates who will never see the inside of a death chamber, right?
That's correct. And actually, they are our mental health institutions. We have more seriously mentally ill in our jails and prisons than we do in our state mental hospitals today.
Let's talk about a doctor who would be administering a cocktail that he might not even know what is in it in one of these states where the secrecy laws have been enacted. How can a doctor do something like that when the definition of failure is that the patient lives?
The doctor should not be involved. Unfortunately, John, an execution relies on medical technology, but it is not a medical procedure. And for the ethical reasons I mentioned a moment ago, no medical person, doctor, nurse, or other healthcare practitioner should be involved in the execution. So the issue that you raised shouldn't come up because we should not be around. We should not even be there at the moment of death or presumed death to declare death, because even the simple act of saying the person is dead raises an ethical conundrum. If they are dead, that's okay, but imagine the situation where they're not. The logical conclusion of my statement to the executioner of he's not yet dead is to hit him again with the execution medications. And so that, again, would put me in an ethical bind.
All right, let's talk philosophically a little more here before we get down to brass tacks a little bit. Is it possible for you to have this problem ethically but still be in support of the death penalty as a legal principle, as an appropriate penalty for certain crimes, Dr. Stern?
Sure, good question also, John. So we're all guided by three lights, a moral light, an ethical light, and a legal light. And so those three can be out of sync. And in fact, they were for me. My moral position at the time on executions was not necessarily aligned with the ethical position. But we don't, as physicians, get to choose our ethics. Those are determined by our profession, by our colleagues. And when they are misaligned, then you are bound by the ethical obligations, also the legal obligations. And if you're in a position where they're misaligned and you can't deal with the misalignment, you have to recuse yourself.
But aren't doctors, isn't there a role of doctors as a kind of impartial arbiter of these, threshold moments in health, life, death, to have a doctor there when you pass from life? Isn't that something that is appropriate, even if the situation is an execution? You'd rather have a doctor there than a bunch of ghoulish uniformed cops putting tubes in your arm, right?
Well, so there's two answers to that, John. The first is that physicians aren't at every situation life change. If you go to the drugstore and buy drugs, your doctor isn't there. But the second answer is if a patient were to request my assistance, my presence at their execution as their physician to support them, for example, if they were a mental health professional were there to support the patient, to give them counsel, to hold their hand, I would have no problem with that because that's consistent with our ethical obligations. But the moment the doctor or the health professional changes their behavior and becomes supportive to the execution, they have crossed the line. So being there to support them in that transition would be fine.
In our final moments here, I don't want to malign the doctor in Oklahoma who was there and had a very difficult decision to make. But what are your thoughts about what happened in Oklahoma this week before we go?
Well, briefly, he had a very easy decision to make. His decision was when he was asked to participate to say no. Once he got into the middle of that situation, clearly, had this been a medical procedure, there would have been other appropriate support present. For example, if an intravenous is put in during an operation and the intravenous fails, you try somewhere else, you bring a surgeon in and look for a different point of access. So all of those proper things that should have been available to a physician in a medical setting to do something properly were missing. So he or she had difficult decisions, but of their own making.
And a sad moment, probably, for all of us and for doctors everywhere. Dr. Stern, thanks so much.
You're very welcome, John. Pleasure talking with you.
Dr. Mark Stern is professor at the School of Public Health at the University of Washington, former assistant secretary for healthcare at the Washington State Department of Corrections. So you can join this conversation. We'd love to hear what you have to say from Freehold, New Jersey. I think the death penalty is about both vengeance and justice. I don't have a problem with that, but what I do have a problem with is whether it can be administered fairly. And I don't think that is possible. Give us your view at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can leave us a comment at facebook.com/thetakeaway. And remember, we announced it earlier this hour. If you want to nominate your book club to take part in our book club series that we're launching this summer, it's going to be the way we do books from now on. Visit us at thetakeaway.org to find out how you can get involved. Have a great weekend. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.